Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Hey everyone, this is Josh.
Hello, this is Scott.
And we're glad to be back with you again for another Words of Grace podcast. Had a good weekend?
Yeah, it is good to be back. It's a beautiful Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Sunny right. And warm and
yeah,
quite a contrast from a couple of Mondays ago.
Seriously, that's Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Tennessee weather. Mm-hmm. Had a good worship service yesterday, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And we got a big weekend coming up.
That's right. This is the annual youth DNOW. Tell us about it, Josh.
Yeah, DNOW stands for Disciple Now, and it's that term is like from the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. Like I went to those when I was a kid, but I led those
when I was a youth group.
That's right,
and a youth pastor.
And it's like a weekend retreat, but you stay in church members' homes with others, like eighth grade boys are at one home, ninth grade girls are at another, that kind of thing. And we partner with this year five other churches in the Nashville area, but we host it. There's preaching, there's worship, there's fun and games and food and fellowship. And mm-hmm. it's a big, great weekend. And we have right now 150 students from Grace, mm-hmm. As well as another 150 to 175 students from these other churches that'll be joining us,
wow.
As well as adults. You know, I think we got 60 adults involved, Bible study leaders and host homes and people from these other churches. So it's a big event.
Yeah, very big. Yeah. Very mm-hmm. big. And think about it. What else could teenagers be doing on a weekend?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are any number of things.
That's right.
There's lots, and some of them are leaving and coming back during it to go do,
yeah.
you know, games and sports and
fans. Well, those are good things. I was thinking about they could just be getting in all kinds of trouble.
Right. We're saving them from all the trouble they're getting in.
I was thinking, not about trouble, just nonsense, just non helpful stuff. You know, just sitting yeah. around.
They could have played a lot of
screens.
Video games that weekend.
Yeah,
that's right.
No screen. Is this a no screen weekend?
We do, yeah. We have all of our retreats and trips are supposed to be phone free.
Great.
So kids might have it in their bag or something in case of an emergency, but they're not supposed to have them out.
Yeah.
So the adults take the pictures and we share them after the weekend, and it's nice. Yeah.
I want to just encourage you because I'm around these things. I watch.
Mm-hmm.
I show up. I see what's happening.
Yeah.
And it really is powerful, Josh. Getting the kids together. They're really getting the Word of God. They're getting the gospel. Christ is exalted. And they are learning. They learn how to socialize and mm-hmm. how to be around friends, and they love each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I'm not a big screen basher. I have an iPhone and a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something negative about staring at a screen and never interacting with a human.
That's right.
So when I see these kids together and they're just learning how to take care of each other and look out for each other and interact,
that's right.
As well as doing that in the context of learning the gospel and experiencing the worship of Christ, it's a wonderful thing. So y'all are doing a great job. Now, real quick, before we get into our the topic of the podcast, what would be, you know, two or three big prayer requests? Because anybody listening to this is right now being called to be praying for DNOW.
Yeah.
So what are they?
Great. You know, first would probably be just that the Spirit would move and work in the hearts and minds of our students. So, I mean, mm-hmm. that's the big thing. There's preaching, there's worship, there's a lot of thought about, like, where are they in their relationship with the Lord. So just that would happen.
Okay.
Then I'd say the it's a big logistical crazy weekend. So the big things would be, number one, you know, there are some bugs flying around, flu and things like that, and that inevitably winds up affecting some of our students, as well as hosts that might have been keeping kids or mm-hmm. Bible study leaders that might have been doing supervision. And all that is very fragile, and, you know, that whole little ecosystem of host homes can just come tumbling down if there's mm-hmm. a lot of sickness. So that people would stay healthy, I would say. And then, just a lot of kids running around, safety. Okay. We want, you know, nobody get hurt if they're running around the hallways. Mm-hmm. We don't want people to get sick. We don't want people, you know, there's food allergies. There's all the little things like that.
Good.
That, you know, are big, but.
Good. All right. So we're going to pray that Christ would capture hearts. Mm. We're going to pray for sicknesses to not spread and not to be a problem this weekend. We're going to pray for logistics, food and travel and all that.
Yep.
And what was the third?
Safety.
Safety. Kids, yeah, there you go. Safe, yeah. Okay. There's four things.
Yeah.
Good.
Awesome. Well, and on that, we had a great worship service on Sunday and continuing on in Acts.
Yes.
A little overview here. We're back in the same chapter again.
Yeah, and we will be next week. So we're spending 3 weeks in Acts 9, the first part of Acts 9, which is about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Mm-hmm. In the middle of that, again, 3 weeks, this week, yesterday was the middle week, and I pulled out one little line from Jesus, not out of context, though. We kept it in its context, but the line from Jesus where he says to Saul after he shows, he appears to him in the light from heaven, and then he speaks to him in a voice, and he asks Saul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting."
Yeah.
And so I lifted that line out to unpack the what we call the doctrine, the teaching of Christ's union with his church. Mm-hmm. And the whole point there was to show how the relationship between Christ and the church, not just Christ and the individual Christian, but Christ and the church, is that he abides in his church abides in him. He redeemed his church by his own blood, and his presence is in the church by the Holy Spirit. And so that means that the church shares the life of Christ, and it also means that what the church experiences by way of persecution and affliction and suffering, Jesus also experiences it with us. Mm. So that's the nature of the union that Christ has with his church.
Yeah.
So that was that was the main point. And then I, toward the end there, I tried to show some ways that applies and would encourage us and how we could experience in our lives the union that we have with Christ.
Yeah, that's awesome. And some great application with it, the comfort that we can derive from that understanding that Jesus identifies that so deeply with us, that he's feeling our pain with us, that the reality that Jesus is going to take care of the persecutors in the end.
Yeah.
But did want to zero in on to clarify a point of application.
Okay.
And that was that we should be aware as Christians that when we speak against the church, we're speaking against Jesus. Mm-hmm. And which I thought was really helpful. But I wonder, like, does that mean that there is no room for any kind of criticism towards the church at all?
Yeah. No, no, it does not mean that. So, in other words, the good point of clarification, because I don't think I made that clear distinction, that there are times when to be constructively critical or helpfully critical, to point out issues in a particular congregation or the church at large, meaning the way Christians of a certain kind react to things, to point that out is not necessarily wrong. It is okay to say, well, in this congregation or our congregation or congregations in general, that we have veered away from the gospel or that we have become unbiblical in a certain area of ethics or morality, that the doctrinal stance is weak. You know, to say those things is not wrong, but that means that what we're trying to do is be a part of the purification, the ongoing purity and growing purity, growing reformation, we could even say, of Christ's church.
Yeah.
So to the extent that we do that helpfully, great. Mm-hmm. However, a lot of what we hear is simply people being critical for a selfish reason, meaning people have a particular agenda that they want their church to be on, and or a particular place they want their church to go theologically that's not helpful, or just they're not getting their way. And so they could speak against the church. They could be highly critical of it, throw out, you know, lob out generalizations about, you know, rampant hypocrisy in a particular thing just because they didn't get their way. And I just, you know, want to warn myself and others who would do that. I've done that, by the way. I have been critical of the church when I should not have been. And so I'm not speaking to others as much as without speaking to myself. We need to warn ourselves. No, we're not allowed to do that. This is Christ Church. Christ, I don't mean just Grace Community Church. I mean the church, as well as our congregation, belongs to Christ. He redeemed us with his blood. His spirit lives inside of us. He identifies with us so closely that the only human analogy that can even come close, and it doesn't complete it, it's not complete, but it does come close, is that of husband and wife. That's how close.
Right.
So we just need to take great care.
Yeah.
That if we're going to speak about the church, we always speak about the church, number one, in the spirit of love. Number two, we're going to speak about it in terms of speaking the concerns of Jesus and not our selfish concerns. You know, what does the Bible actually say about the church? And that we want to be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some ways that you would have somebody, like if someone is feeling a sense of like discontentment about their own church or the church at large, like what would you have them, what mental exercises might you have them go through to say, is this a thing I need to speak up about or is this something I should be praying through, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah. First, I would say pray. I would say pray. Josh, I cannot tell you how many times that I have started out thinking one way and after 2 miles of prayer, realized I was thinking the wrong way because I was motivated by hurt or anger or just general frustration or disappointment. And you got to pray that through. Second thing I would say is read the Bible and ask the question, are my concerns or my discontentments, are they really biblical ones? Are they, like, could I actually say, here is a very clear biblical principle? Doesn't have to be a verse. If it's a verse, you're really onto something. Like, this is a disobedience to a verse of the scripture. But is there a clear principle that my church is not living up to that is detrimental? It's a problem. Okay, that's another question to ask. And if not, if it's you'll soon realize, no, this is, again, just a preference that I have or something that bothers me for some selfish motive. So you're going to pray, and then you're going to ask the question, is this really about something that Jesus wants for his church revealed in the scripture? If it's still, I've prayed, and yeah, I've still got a problem, there's still a real issue here, then you'd want to talk to the right people.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to gossip. You know, you wouldn't want to stir stuff up. You'd talk to the right people. If you talk to the right people, and then you just keep going from there. Okay, well, was that helpful or not? I want to be helpful. I want to pray for people. I want to listen to them. I might have my mind changed after I talk to them. I might see a different perspective. Now, I mean, of course, congregations are human. Christ is with his congregations. He did redeem us and his presence is with us, but we are still human.
Yeah.
So most of the time in settings, probably someone would do that because they're already at that church and it's unlikely that their church took a real sharp turn one way or the other. Most of the time, people are going to say, "Yeah, this is probably something I just need to overlook and learn how to live with imperfection, experience the joy of living with in an imperfect church and having to forgive and be patient and all that." But let's say no. Let's say there's a real criticism that is not being addressed, a real problem. Well, then that's when you might say, "I probably need to leave," or at least have another conversation with the leadership and say, This might be something that's requiring me to go, biblically speaking.
Right.
My conscience is held captive here by the word of God, and I'm going to have to, okay, on the way out the door here, you just do that peacefully. And so those kinds of things. Yeah. So didn't know we were going in that direction, so I'll pull this back to the point. The point is just to start by always realizing, listen, the church belongs to Christ. Christ is in union with his people. He loves his people. He died for his people. His presence is in his people. He's sanctifying his people. I need to be really careful about either being unwisely and selfishly critical, or about neglecting the church, bringing harm into the church.
Yeah.
Because all of that impacts Jesus, mm-hmm. and he's who I will be accountable to. That's the main point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Well, we can all seek to love Christ's church together.
Yeah.
And look forward to meeting together this week.
Yep. Thanks.